It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 2 Timothy, we are teaching a series on the book of 2 Timothy, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of 2 Timothy, penned by the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul of Tarsus in the Scriptures. Saul of Tarsus was known as the persecutor of the early church, according to the book of Acts and the book of Galatians and other places in the New Testament Scriptures. Saul of Tarsus, the Christian persecutor, was converted on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 by the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is Paul the Apostle, who also penned a total of 14 New Testament epistles or letters. Also, 2 Timothy is known as one of the pastoral epistles, along with 1 Timothy here in 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. The pastoral epistles emphasize church order and church doctrine. And this book of 2 Timothy is also the swan song of the Apostle Paul, written approximately 68 AD before his martyrdom by Emperor Nero, where Paul suffered decapitation for the cause of Christ. And this book of 2 Timothy teaches personal references and charges to Timothy for the ministry. It also outlines the gospel and the gospel ministry. It teaches apostasy, false teachers, things that will happen in the last days, and admonitions and warnings for the local church. This is the teaching on the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we see in verse 1 the salutation of Paul. Paul always pens his name in the epistles or letters in his salutations, except for the book of Hebrews, which he penned anonymously so that the Jewish leaders will accept the letter to the Hebrews. Verse 1 also speaks of Paul naming himself an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul is not an apostle by man. Paul is not an apostle by some seminary graduation. Paul is not an apostle by some ordination of man. Paul claims his apostleship from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is often spoken of in the Pauline epistles. Paul claiming his authority and his calling coming from the Lord. This word apostle throughout the scriptures is also used for individuals who are sent by the Lord as missionaries into other lands. Here, however, is a difference between a missionary and an individual who establishes churches. An apostle may be sent to different lands. An apostle may establish churches. However, in this context, there are original apostles who meet the criteria to be called an apostle, individuals who are ordained by Christ personally, perform the miracles in the name of Jesus Christ and saw the risen, resurrected Christ personally. Here, in the context of Paul's authority as an apostle has a threefold criteria based on it. And in the scriptures, true apostleship has credentials. According to 1 Corinthians 9 verse 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12, a apostle in scripture must be ordained by Christ personally, number one, and must also have the record of miracles performed by themselves according to the word of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. And number three, they must have saw personally the risen Christ. This is a threefold criterion for an individual to be called an apostle. Verse number two speaks of Timothy. This is Timothy from Acts chapter 16 verse 1, whom Paul had met on his missionary journey. Acts 16 verse 1 states, "Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." This word Timothy means honoring God. This is Timothy, whom Paul known for approximately 17 years throughout the scriptures, mentioned in Acts 16, mentioned in Acts 17, Acts 18, and Acts 19, and throughout the Pauline epistles. This is Timothy, who was martyred for the Lord approximately 97 AD. This is Timothy, one of the most faithful of Paul's companions in his missionary journey. And according to verse 2, Paul led him to the Lord in salvation. As a result, he is called a son in the faith. This also bears the question for us: who can we call sons and daughters in the faith? Who have we led to the Lord? Have we planted seeds for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For scripture teaches, one man planteth, another man watereth, and God gives the increase. Are we salt and light that is an influence to lead individuals to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ and furthering the kingdom of God? Scripture teaches that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord himself send forth laborers to the vineyard. Verse 2 also speaks of a threefold greeting from Paul: grace, mercy, and peace. And throughout the Pauline epistles, you will see this order consistently. For you cannot have the mercy of God until you have the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And you cannot have the peace of God until you have the grace of God through Jesus Christ. As a result, Paul always consistently in his salutations state grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in that order. Verses 3 through 5. "And I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or undisguised, the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Here in verse 3, we see that Paul was a man of prayer. And throughout the Pauline epistles, you will see him praying for that particular church he's writing to, praying for certain individuals by name. Verse number 4 speaks of their joy and fellowship together as individuals have tears of joy in each other's presence, fellowshipping in the Lord, fellowshipping in the work of the Lord, fellowshipping in the love of the Lord in each other. As they cry together, as they fellowship together, even though Paul is imprisoned, there is sweet fellowship between them. Verse 5 speaks of one of the reasons why that Paul greatly desires to see Timothy and has remembrance for Timothy. It is because of his sincere, undisguised, unfeigned faith. In the days of persecution, Timothy is holding fast. And verse 5 speaks of three generations of individual faith in Christ. The grandmother Lois first believed and passed it on to the mother Eunice, and then she passed it on to her son Timothy. We are charged in the scriptures to pass on the legacy of Christ. What are we passing on? Are we passing on the traditions and heritage and culture of our family? That is fine. But are we also passing on the goodness of God, the love of God, salvation in Christ, the scriptures? Are we giving our children and children's children a legacy that will last throughout eternity? The legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ passed on from generation to generation. Verse 5 also speaks of this faith in Christ being passed on despite not naming a father in the scripture. Timothy's father, according to Acts 16, was a Greek. An inference to individual compared to Lois and Eunice as being an unbeliever and not having the Christian influence in the home. Despite not having a Christian positive father in the home, Timothy is raised with the love of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and avoids being detoured from the purpose of God. This gives us hope and encouragement that individuals today, despite having an absentee father or an absentee parent, can still find their purpose in the Lord and can still fulfill the will of God for their life. As they are brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead them and guide them to their purpose in the Lord. Verses 6 through 8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse number 6 speaks of Paul's gift of the laying on of hands. This is spoken also in Romans chapter 1 verse 11 and also in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4. Timothy is encouraged to stir up the gift of God. This speaks that the gift of God can be lost. Not by God taking away the gift, but it can be lost through non-use. It can be lost through being substituted for another. For example, individuals brought up in the church that know the Lord having the gift of music. Instead of ministering unto the Lord in humility, individuals sometimes are led astray by the lust of money and the fame and fortune that they may seek in the worldly music industry. individuals have not lost that gift, but that gift is being used in a way that is not glorifying God, as individuals are detoured from their purpose and calling in the Lord. Timothy is encouraged to stir up this gift despite the persecution that may cause him to go astray in that day. Verse 7 speaks of Timothy having an inference of fear, cowardice, and perhaps being timid. This is because of Paul's imprisonment and the chains he was bound in. Individuals seeing this may be fearful that they may be arrested for the cause of Christ, that they may be persecuted for the cause of Christ. And Paul wants to warn and encourage Timothy not to let that discourage him or detour him from his calling in the Lord. Verse 7 also teaches that any spirit of fear is not of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will give you, Timothy, a spirit of power, which speaks to boldness in the Lord, of love, which speaks to unconditional love for the Lord and for others, and for a sound mind, which speaks to understanding the scriptures, sound doctrine, and understanding the times he's living in, the times of Christian persecution. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 teaches that this power that we seek is within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 states, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Romans chapter 5 verse 5 teach that this love that Paul is referring to is from the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse number 6 teaches that our ministry is by the Holy Ghost and by love unfeigned or undisguised, sincere, unconditional love. The power that Paul is referring to Timothy comes from the Holy Spirit. The love that Paul is speaking to Timothy comes from the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 speaks of a warning to Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of Paul's imprisonment. Jesus is teaching in Mark chapter 8 verse 38 that if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you deny me, I will deny you. We are to be faithful in love unto death. We are to learn how to suffer for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 states, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." We are to learn how to suffer, knowing that we are glorifying the Lord when we suffer for righteousness' sake, when we suffer for doing that which is right, when we are ridiculed for the cause of Christ, blackballed for the cause of Christ. We are in good company, for Elijah suffered for the cause of the Lord. Jeremiah suffered for the cause of the Lord. Paul suffered for the cause of the Lord, and great is our reward in the kingdom of God. Verses 9 through 10. "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Here in verse 9, Paul is encouraging Timothy that there is an holy calling, and this calling has come from the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 states, "According hath he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 9 also speaks that this calling is of the Lord and not based on our own works, our own efforts, our intelligence, or who we know or who we don't know. This calling is from the Lord. Verse 10 speaks of the evidence that we now have that death has been abolished and there's immortality in Christ. For Jesus Christ, by his own life, demonstrated love and demonstrated the death, burial, and his resurrection for all to see. As a result, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the guarantee of life that we have was fulfilled and guaranteed in the resurrection of Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Death has been abolished in the Lord based on the resurrection of Christ. And those that put their faith and trust in the Lord through salvation have everlasting life in Christ. Verses 11 through 12. "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Here in verse 11, Paul knows his purpose. Paul knows his calling. This is echoed also in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." God is not looking for our ability. God is looking for our availability. Verse 12 speaks to Paul knowing why he's suffering, and even though he is suffering, this will not deter him. He will not be ashamed, though he is being persecuted, suffering for the cause of Christ, ridiculed, ostracized, deserted upon. He will endure to the end, knowing that there's life in the Lord beyond this world of suffering. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27 states, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Paul knew that there's life in the Lord beyond the persecution of this world, and we suffer just light afflictions compared to the glory that is to come if we are faithful to the end. Verses 13 and 14. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee." Verse 13 speaks of Paul encouraging Timothy to preserve truth, to preserve sound doctrine. For there are individuals who would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Hold fast to truth and be not ashamed of the scriptures." Verse 14 speaks of Timothy keeping these things, not by his intelligence, not by his own strength, not by his youth, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Scriptures teach in the book of Isaiah, it is the anointing which destroys the yoke. Verse number 15, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. These two individuals are named by Paul by name in the scriptures as they deserted the apostle Paul in his hour of need. They are named by name. Phygellus means fugitive, and Hermogenes means born of Hermes, or born of Mercury, or son of Mercury. These individuals are named by name, separate from others, perhaps because they were leaders amongst others who defected from Paul. Also, they are named by name to Timothy to warn Timothy that if these individuals come about again, be careful, because they will desert you in your hour of need. Scripture teaches in the book of Proverbs, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. There are individuals in the church that talk a good game, but when persecution comes, when ridicule comes, they begin to compromise, and you will not see them stand with you when it comes time to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are individuals that love the praises of men more than the praises of God. These are individuals that are Christian by name and label only, but deep down, when the persecution and the ridicule and the suffering begin to raise its ugly head, these individuals will desert you and not be there in your time of need. We are learning in these last days that there are individuals who say they are with you, but may not be with you. That there are individuals who may not be with you now, but may stand with you in the tough times. Scripture teaches in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Verses 16 through 18. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here in verses 16 through 18, we see a contrast to the unfaithfulness of Phygellus and Hermogenes in the faithfulness of Onesiphorus. This individual is named in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, with a blessing upon his whole household. This individual ministered to Paul despite the persecution that Paul was going through and the imprisonment that Paul was going through. He made an effort and an intent to go see Paul. Sometimes individuals can be at risk of persecution even when they are just being connected with other Christians. For example, Peter was warming himself by the fire in the scriptures, and individuals came to him and accused him of being a follower of Christ, based on him being seen with Christ, based on his manner of speech, based on his conduct. And Peter denied three times that he knew the Lord. Peter did not want to risk being arrested like Christ. Peter did not want to risk being imprisoned, persecuted like Christ, and denied the Lord three times. Here, Onesiphorus risked being arrested, risked imprisonment and persecution by being connected with the Apostle Paul, and still ministered unto Paul, made sure his needs were met while he was in prison, and demonstrated true Christian love at the risk of being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Onesiphorus demonstrated the love of God in ministry, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 13, which states, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Onesiphorus demonstrated Jesus' unconditional love and service towards others, as evident in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, where Jesus states, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Even the smallest of what we should call gestures of service and love in the Lord will be greatly rewarded. Oh, that we may minister like Onesiphorus and go out to the prisons and the nursing homes and the shelters and do true Christian outreach and allow our lights to shine, roll our sleeves up, and dig in to true ministry and allow our light to shine to others, that the Lord may be glorified, individuals may be brought to Christ, and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the teaching on the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.